Hello and welcome to CJ Evolution, the podcast dedicated to helping criminal justice professionals like you. Now here's your host, fellow CJ Evolutionary, Patrick Fitzgibbons.
Hello everybody, welcome back. Episode 141, CJ Evolution. Patrick here, host and creator. Whatever you're doing, wherever you're at, thank you for tuning in. We keep growing because of you, the supporter. Thank you so much for the continued support. I also want to thank all the people out there, brave men and women working in the criminal justice field, keeping us safe day in and day out. We wouldn't have the country we have without you. So thank you once again. Super jazzed to have the following guest on. His name is Arnie Fonseca. If you don't know who Arnie is, he's helped thousands of individuals over the past 30 years achieve their goals despite daunting challenges in their lives. He has spoken at both national and international conferences on topics ranging from strength and wellness to finance, to relationships, to the treatment of traumatic spinal cord and brain injuries. And in this interview, Arnie and I start talking about how he believes that men out there have kind of lost their way, kind of lost their mojo, and he's going to tell you how to get it back. So without further ado, I give you the one, the only, Arnie Fonseca. Hello, everybody. Welcome back. Very excited to have my next guest on. His name is Arnie Fonseca Jr., and he's a great guy, and he talks about all different things as far as relationships, wellness, finance, with a little bit of spiritual mixed in. Arnie, welcome, sir.
Hey, Patrick, how you doing? I'm glad to be here.
And I hope I pronounced your last name right. Usually I ask before we start taping, but hopefully I didn't.
No, you're okay. You get two chances. You nailed one of them. My dad started saying Fonseca years ago, which drives everybody crazy now. I use Fonseca now.
Oh, okay.
But don't worry about it, because most of the time, 99% of the time, it's Fonseca, just like you said it.
Okay.
So we're good to go.
Well, how you doing, man? Thanks for coming on. I know you're busy. I know you got a lot of stuff going on, and I appreciate you being here.
You know, I'm really excited today because you caught me on a good day. Friday's the day I do a lot of my podcasting stuff. And let me just throw a name at you here. I had a great interview this morning with a guy by the name of Dan the Beast Severin. Have you ever heard of that guy?
Dan the Beast. Should I? He sounds scary. He sounds like he's going to kick my butt if I don't know who he is.
Well, he was the very first UFC champion.
Okay.
Many years ago, he's won more championships than anybody. He also did WWF.
Wow.
And just a great guy, a giving guy, a wonderful soul. I couldn't stop talking to him. But we set up another interview and just fun stuff and a lot of man stuff. You know, we talk about a lot of stuff that deals with men. Kind of like you and I were just talking about in the pre-show here, because men are struggling right now, Patrick. I mean, you know this with your background. You see it all the time, and I see it. I've seen it for 40 years in as a teacher and a coach, and now as a strategic men's coach. I see it. I do a lot of work in recovery with alcohol and drugs and stupid stuff, and it usually involves men, and just a lot of confusion out there, guy, And we need guys. That's why we need guys like you doing your show and what I'm doing, because the problem is not getting better. It's getting worse.
Well, what do you mean, Arnie, by like confusion? I mean, what do you mean that men are confused? Is it just with relationships, professionally, what?
Everywhere. Here's why. First of all, our media is – they want guys to be the Raymond on TV, soft and kind of wishy-washy and – can't make a decision versus John Wayne, you know, 40 years ago. And let me give you some information on that. I did a radio show about 2 months ago with a friend of mine here in town. And we did some research and found that in the early 60s on TV and movies, they had, I think it was 43 examples of men being strong, grounded, virile men. Today, three.
Wow.
Three. Now, and that's the way society wants to paint men, as these creatures that can't make up their mind. Because remember now, they want us to be equal to women. I do a lot of work in relationship in these groups and stuff, especially on Facebook and stuff. And I'm always bringing up to people, it's like, hey, listen, men and women are different. And that's good. That's a good thing. And so when confusion comes, I say, are men supposed to be strong and virile and tough and courageous, or are they supposed to be wimpy and wishy-washy? And so what I teach my clients, Patrick, is you got to have a strong core, which means you have to love yourself like you really like your life depends on it. So you, if you have this strong core and you really love Patrick and you can look in the mirror and say 10 things why Patrick is a great guy, then when you need to be soft and kind and gentle, you're okay with that. It's no big deal. And when you need to be tough and virile and courageous and stand up, you're there too. And you don't have any problem going back and forth with that strong core.
And that's a good point, Arnie, you bring up, because, I mean, you're exactly right. I mean, you have to love yourself. You have to, you know, you have to be comfortable with yourself. You have to be confident. And I think a lot of people, whether you're man or woman, I think we just, there's so many of us out there that have a lot of self-doubt, you know, and are insecure and about various issues. And I think, yeah, you're exactly right. It starts with, you know, our inside, what we're thinking inside.
Yeah, and it's a mess. And kind of following that theme, you know, a big issue today is the opioid epidemic. And one of the reasons that we have such a problem with it, Patrick, and I like to use my dad as an example, even though he did this about 40 years ago. Well, it'd be 37 years ago. He tried to commit suicide. You know, he was this big, strong Marine. Wow. And he was on painkillers for back injuries and construction and all this stuff. And so I always like to ask, why does a big, strong Marine with three kids married, albeit not a great marriage, but why does he try to kill himself? And think of the pain that man had to be in to do that.
Yeah.
And if he knew what he was doing, Patrick, he would have done it. Because men usually don't miss. And so in today's society, what you have today, Patrick, is you have a lot of guys that after the economy got crushed in 2007, 8, 9, right there. A lot of guys that were my age, about 50 years of age, lost their stuff, man. They lost everything. And what creates the issue that we have in our society today is I'm holding my hands up. I have one hand on the bottom, one hand on the top, and there's a gap. And if we're not making any progress, and the key word there is progress, if we're not making any progress to what our expectations were, Patrick, whether to have a happy marriage with two or three kids, a nice house and a picket fence, if we're not making progress, we suffer. And there's a lot of men out there suffering. And so what happens is we try to numb it. So we either do it through alcohol or we do it through drugs or we do it through bad behavior. And so you'll notice with the increase in the medical marijuana, which is in men, it's 92% men 18 to 34 with indiscriminate pain. 92%. That's crazy. And then you have this opioid epidemic because guys are again they're not doing what they want to do. They're struggling. They're not making any progress because if we can just make a little bit of progress, we're okay as guys. We just got to keep our feet moving. But when we start sliding backwards and life starts to crush us, we suffer, man.
And so what do you think this is a complex question I'm going to ask you, but I mean, what do you think some of the solutions are for the opiate, you know, being in law enforcement, the opiate, the epidemic. And a lot of it is what you just said, Arnie, is that you have these people that are, you know, that have a surgery or something or a back surgery, they take some pain meds, they get hooked on that, then they start doctor shopping around and then, you know, they realize it's cheaper just to go on the street and buy some heroin than it is to buy some Oxycontin or whatever other type of narcotic to help with the pain. So what do you think some of the solutions are? I mean, it's we've talked about this before on my show, not you, but, you know, I've covered this topic before. And it is a huge, it's just getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And I don't know from a law enforcement perspective, because I think we need to, I've always said we need to spend more money and we need to focus more on treatment, even though I'm a cop and I do what they tell me to do. I think we need to be spending more money on treatment. So I don't know what your take is. Because it's such a big problem, man. I mean, it's not just, you know, where I'm at, Colorado.
Ready?
Yeah, go ahead.
You ready? you just swerved into my sweet spot, baby. No, seriously, here, there was an article in the early 2000s that was based on a report in Africa in these big game preserves, and they had the government had gone in there, Patrick, and they had moved a group of elephants from this one game preserve, moved a lot of the larger, older elephants out of it, and left a lot of the younger elephants to grow up and, you know, take over the mm-hmm. game preserve. No big deal, right? Mm-hmm. And they noticed a few years later that some of the rare rhinoceroses and some of the other animals were being killed in the preserve where the older elephants had left. And they thought, man, poachers must be going in there and something crazy must be going on. So they started putting up cameras in the preserve. And you know what they found? That groups of roaming young elephants were going around and literally mobbing and torturing these animals and just killing them. Mm-hmm. And you know what their solution was?
What?
They went to these older parks. They went to these other parks in Africa, South Africa. They had to create these special trucks with these massive wheels because it's never been done before. And they loaded up the biggest, meanest bull elephants they could find. And they started carting them back in. And you know what happened?
What?
Within a few months, those big bulls straightened those young ones out. And, you know, so here's the solution. Right now, you've got almost 50% fatherless homes. Almost 50%. This is insane, what's mm-hmm. going on in our country right now. Mm-hmm. So, which is why when you and I were talking about earlier, what you're doing, what I'm doing, what we need other strong men to stand up and start doing. You know, I have a Facebook group, Answers for Real Men, where we talk about this stuff because I'm looking for men that want to stand up, take a stand, quit wimping out, be strong, have that strong core, mm-hmm. Be firm, have integrity. We've got to start standing up. We've got to start talking. We got to open our mouths, and we've got to start talking to these young guys. You don't wave your finger in their face. You understand. You know, when I did neural rehab, one of the reasons I was good at that is because I had a knack for being able to come from behind inside the person and see the world from their point of view. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a little NLP, which I learned from Bandler, that if you see the world from the other person's point of view, not to go along with it, but to understand it.
Yeah,
we have to understand because everybody, you and I included, Patrick, we all want to be encouraged and we want to be understood. So we get these street thugs. I have a good friend, and he's an African-American, very, very wealthy man. He's in the financial field. He grew up in the streets of Maryland. He does a lot of work with the gangs in L.A., Crips and Bloods and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they want someone like him to go in there and talk to them and mm-hmm. stand up to them and encourage them.
He's been there before.
Yeah, but we got all these guys that can do that, and they don't do it. Mm-hmm. They complain and blame, and that's what most people do, Patrick. They first thing most men do, complain and blame. Not my fault, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And then my next solution to them is, well, instead of doing that, why don't you change your freaking rules, okay? Which means you can go in, change your expectations, I'd say. That's number two. Which means you can change what you want to do, maybe go to school, get some training, I don't know, whatever you want to do. But the easiest thing is what I just said a minute ago is change your freaking rules.
Yeah.
What does it take you to be happy? And that's why some people have 50 rules and they'll never be happy. So they're sitting around, well, since I can't do that because I can't do 50 things, I'm just going to go up over and beat somebody up or steal from somebody or join a gang because they're giving me love and support. Because joining a gang is an addiction because it meets, you know, I know you're a student of Tony Robbins. It meets four of your six human needs, mm-hmm. which is an addiction. Yeah. That's what creates an addiction. You know, when it meets your need for security, certainty, excitement, love, and significance, I got news for you. That's an addiction. That's what's going on.
And I've always told people, I mean, of course, I'm not an expert, but I mean, it really is a mindset, Arnie. You know this, and who you associate yourself with. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you know, look at your friends, and I'll show you your future. So mm-hmm. if you're hanging out with the idiots and the drug dealers, that's your future. If you're hanging out with the people that are trying to better themselves to try to get to that next level, that's going to be you. And again, it's easier said than done, and I understand that, but it really comes down to, you know, just changing your mindset and personal choices and surrounding yourself with the people in your life that can help you get to that next level. I mean, there's so many examples out there. I mean, I hear people from all the time saying, well, I can't do this. You know, I can't, you know, I've been in prison, or I've been in trouble. I don't have the right people in my life. And, you know, there are so many examples out there, you know, of people who have just come from just horrible backgrounds, and mm-hmm. they've been able to, you know, rise up and change their, you know, their mindset and just, you know, go on to live these incredible lives.
But see, here's the catch, Patrick. It is possible, but mm-hmm. it's going to take, because like I said, without the father, without that mentor,
exactly. yeah.
we other men, you know, whether it be these professional athletes or like my friend that are willing to step up and get in there, get dirty, roll your sleeves up, get in the mud a little bit, show these guys you mean business. When I was coaching these kids 40 years ago, man, I used to drive these kids home in the ghetto, mm-hmm. in tough areas of town. And, you know, I'm not going to say I was never afraid, but I'm going to tell you this. You know, that was one of the reasons. I mean, one of the first schools I coached at, some of the other coaches, 1 year gave me a trophy with this big cross engraved on it because they called me the savior. And it's probably why I'm coaching today, because, you know, I took these kids that were just thugs, you know, or misfits, whatever you want to call them. I call them my misfits. Mm-hmm. And I just loved on them, man.
Yeah.
But I loved on them. I loved on them in a way that was strong. And I earned their trust. And if I told them I was going to do something, I did it.
Exactly.
And you know what? To this day, a lot of these guys are in their early 50s now, Patrick.
Wow.
In their early 50s. And these guys still call me. And they still call me coach. And we still respect each other. And because I was almost their age when I started, man.
Well, and that's,
you know, just a couple years older.
That's the impact you had on their life. And I agree mm-hmm. with you. I mean, we need more people like you out there that are mentors and are coaches and that are just helping people, not giving up on people.
Well, you know, we can't run away from it. Because what do we do? You're in law enforcement. Mm-hmm. You know this. When there's a fire, we'll use the metaphor fire for fear. Mm-hmm. When there's a fire, most people do one of two things. They either run to it or they run away from it.
Exactly.
I mean, you're the kind of guy that will run to it and say, what can I do? How can I help?
Mm-hmm.
Who needs my help? And when most people see fear, I like to use the other metaphor of the tiger. You know, when you're in, if Patrick, I get news for you. If you're in the jungle and you run upon a tiger, you got two choices. You can either run, which means you're probably going to die, because even if the tiger is not hungry, you're gonna motivate him to chase you, and he's
exactly.
going to kill you.
Exactly.
But if you stand your ground and you stare at the tiger has a choice. If he's hungry, you're going to die. He's going to eat you. If the tiger is not hungry, the tiger is going to go, you know, this guy's not running. This guy's, I'm not really hungry. I'm going to walk away. And that's kind of how fear is. And that's what I teach a lot of my clients is like, hey, look, instead of always running away from what you're most afraid of, stand your ground. Don't back up. Stand your ground. And let's slowly start moving towards it. And you might be surprised that it's not as scary as you think.
But that is so hard to teach because
you better believe it.
Well, if you have kids and I have kids, I mean, mm-hmm. if everybody else, you know, has kids out there, you know, just using that as an example, it is so hard because it is teaching
yes.
kids to face their fear. Now, I'm not talking about, mortal danger or life and death stuff. I'm just talking about facing their fears or taking that first step and, you know, just because that's what it's about, man. It's about conquering and facing our fears. Because or they'll consume you.
But here's the catch, and this is why I love what we're doing. That's why I love this whole podcasting genre, because mm-hmm. you know, I'm able to talk to a guy like you, and we can hash this out, and I could say to you, hey man, if you got five guys and I got five guys and we're teaching this stuff about, hey, look, it's one step at a time. So if my son, who's 12 or 13, needs me to if he needs to know that I've got his back,
mm-hmm.
that he can take a step forward and either say something or do something, and he knows that dad's there for him. It's no different than the 48-year-old former NFL running back that I was coaching yesterday that's having a struggle in a relationship. He doesn't know what to do. Mm. And we talk for a few minutes. And then after the call, I said, hey, man, I got your back on this.
Yeah.
And he goes, thanks, I needed to hear that. You know, here, there's a 48-year-old man that needed to hear that.
Well, it never ends.
No. But if your 12-year-old knows that dad's there for him, and because each time he steps forward, it could be just stepping up to his brother or sister, or it could be, you know, the kid at school that's bugging him at the locker, or whatever it might be. If he knows that dad's going to be there no matter what happens, the next time that something happens, he's going to take, and pretty soon he's built up some pretty good muscle.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's got that self-esteem, and then he's listening to you because you got a few years there. You got a window, Dad, that you can teach your son or your daughter, but let's stay with your son right now. And then at some point, and I usually tell dads, and you know, I talk to my brother all the time about this, when he's about 15, 16 years old, it's over. Now you got three things you got to do. You get to say, I love you, I'm proud of you, and you're good at that. And if you hammer those three things on your son, you're going to be okay, because he doesn't want you to coach him anymore. He's got other coaches, other mentors you can help him find maybe, but he's really not going to listen to you very much. But he wants to hear, I love you, I'm proud of you, and you're good at something.
And not to toot my own horn, but I tell my son that every day. I tell him I love him. I am proud of him. I always tell him that. And again, not to, you know, toot my own horn. It's so important that kids need to see that. Because I grew up my dad's wonderful. I love him to death. But he didn't tell me that a lot. And not that screwed up or anything. But, you know, he's a baby boomer. And, you know, he's a baby boomer. He said that every once in a while. But I make it a point to tell my kid almost to where my son is like, all right, Dad, okay, like, I love you too. And I just wanted to know that I love you and I'm proud of you, you know.
I love you. See, I'm a baby boomer. So here was my little gitch. My dad, who obviously was a Depression era kid, never heard it. And so I'm sticking my hand up in the air right now, Patrick, because I never took how to be a great dad class.
Yeah.
And neither did my dad, because my dad and I had a horrible relationship. I never heard I love you from my dad until my youngest was born. Mm-hmm. And he had no idea how to do it. My grandma smothered me. Okay. My mom always said I never had a problem. But I don't know what would happen if my dad would have said I loved you when I was a kid. Never heard it. But I tell you what, I was out looking for it by just excelling in athletics at school and for my teachers and coaches, because I needed to hear it. I was starving for it, man.
Yeah.
And thank God that I had teachers and coaches that could help me with this, because I don't know what would have happened. But, you know, one more caveat with your son, just make sure, and this is where a lot of parents struggle when I work with them, because they want their son or daughter to be something, you know, doctor, lawyer, whatever.
No.
And I tell them, listen, whatever they're good at, compliment them. Tell them they're good at it. If they're an artist, I have a friend who came from an amazing athletic family, professional athlete. And you know what? His son was great at music, and they encouraged it. And now he is part of a phenomenal band that he started, and they're on tour, they're cutting albums, they're doing great things. You know, just because they got encouraged, and they didn't get made fun of.
Well, I played, it's very interesting you bring that up, Arnie, because I played sports all through high school. I didn't so much in college, but my son, you know, he just has that. He played, you know, baseball all through, you know, I think he stopped playing baseball when he's 16, almost 17 now. He played until he was about 13. And
sure.
Now he's into the gaming and the design and gaming, and he has his own YouTube channel. And, you know, a couple of my friends were like, why isn't your son in sports anymore? And I'm like, well, because it's what he wants to do. I mean, if he's not out there breaking the law and doing crazy shit, I mean, he's a good kid, and I encourage him to do that, to be creative, because I don't think we have a lot of creativity anymore. And I'm telling him, look, man, I'll support you as long as you're, you know, getting good grades and stuff like that, which he is.
Sure.
I mean, I support him in whatever he wants to do. And I think you hit it right on the head. I think too many times parents out there, they want their kid to be the star quarterback or the star running back, and they want to live vicariously through them. And you can't do that stuff, man. You just can't. You got to support
your kids.
Now, unless
you better believe it. I coach these guys all the time. You know, now granted, you know, like my brother, his kid's One daughter got a full ride, got her college paid for. Another one was academically very strong and got her school paid for. But I see all these coaches, I mean, these parents now, they're paying for incredible amounts of money into this private coaching for these year-round sports now, which is insane. Mm-hmm. And I think it's part of the problem. But so you got these year, and they all think just because they dumped a ton of money into a kid that, at best might be an average athlete,
yeah,
that they're going to be a professional or get a college scholarship. And they get nuts in the stand. I mean, you nailed it on the head, man. They are living vicariously because I used to lecture at a community college many years ago on this topic, and I said, what makes these people think because they were mediocre, just because they paid for all this, that they're going to all of a sudden their kid who came out of two mediocre people are going to become these amazing athletes? It doesn't work that way.
God, that is so. What are the two? I want to shift gears a little bit. What are the two most common fears?
Beautiful. That face here it is. Because first of all, we're born with two natural fears, Patrick: the fear of falling, not the fear of heights. The fear of falling, it's natural, and the fear of loud noises. And you'll notice when they have an infant, they'll check their hearing by banging some noise behind them and get them to turn their head. So those are actually natural fears that we have. And anytime you're out in a thunderstorm, I guarantee if a crack of lightning goes off, I promise you turn or jump. I don't care who you are. So when they've done surveys around the world, so the point is everything else is learned. So when they've done surveys around the world, it doesn't matter what culture you're from, Patrick, there's two fears that come across. One is, I'm not enough. The second one is, I'll never be loved.
Wow.
And every time I do an interview with anybody and we talk about this, everybody says exactly what you do. They go, wow. Because there's always a part of them that says, you know, boy, I felt that before. Because whether you're at your job, in your relationship, as a dad, am I good enough at this? Even as a podcaster, am I a fraud here, man? Am I a phony? Mm-hmm. You know, or as an athlete or as a student or when you first got your job as a police officer, or whatever you did. I mean, when I ran my company, you know, it's like, man, why am I doing this? You know, how did this happen? You know, mm-hmm. And why did that guy just pay me all that money? I mean, holy crap, what am I supposed to do now? You know, so it's a learned fear, but it's common. And then the other one is that I run into a lot of the time as a relationship coach is that daily is this, am I ever going to be loved again? So I see these people all the time settling for stuff. And I like to use this little phrase with them. Hey, don't forget, whether you're male or female, there's 3 billion other men or women, depending who I'm talking to, out there.
Yeah.
And this I share with them too, Patrick, with relationships, is that if whatever relationship they're in, and they're all brutally hard to leave, okay? Brutally hard, whether it's through death or through divorce or through whatever, if you're just dating, they all hurt. Mm-hmm. painful. The longer you're in them, painful. I don't care who you are, they all hurt. But if your relationship was an experience that you learned from, you learned, because life should be about growth all the time, because we're not growing, we're dying. Mm-hmm. And if you learn from it, I always promise the person, the next one will be better. Mm-hmm. And if they don't learn from it, they will repeat, and the next one will probably be worse.
And life's too short, man. I mean, you can't live in...
No.
You know, I mean, I know it's... I know, and I've been there. I mean, I've been there. And, you know, life is too short. I mean, you know, you have to be happy. You have to be, you know, good in a relationship. And, mm-hmm. you know, I mean, we talked a little bit about this off the air, and... you know, my ex-wife and I got divorced a long time ago, but we still have a good relationship. But it was one of those relationships where we knew it was over. But you know, it was either, okay, stay together. Our kids were a little bit older at the time, to stay together in a relationship that was pretty much dead, or, you know, kind of separate and go our separate ways and, you know, find love again and happiness. You know, and we chose the latter, which was ultimately the best decision. And we're both happy now. We're both in other relationships. But the point is that life's too short. If you're in a terrible relationship. Like you said, I know it's tough. I know it's hard, but you need to kind of make those tough choices to move on and try to be happy again.
Yeah. And let me bring up another thing, and this will spur some thought in you. I'm going to bring up a movie, and I consider it a phenomenal relationship movie. And let's see if you can pick this out. Rocky II. Rocky II, okay. The second Rocky movie, which I consider one of the all-time great relationship movies. And the reason it came up in an earlier interview I did today was because the scene in there where Adrian was in the hospital. She was in a coma. She had just given birth to their son. And the main reason she was there because she had worked in the pet store.
Exactly, yeah.
Because she didn't want Rocky to box anymore because she was worried about him. And he came to her and says, "It's the only thing I know how to do. I'm going to go fight again." And she was upset. So he went to Mickey and said, "I want to fight again." But his heart wasn't into it mm-hmm. because his wife wasn't supporting him. She didn't want him to do it. Mm-hmm. So she went to work. She goes, "I can work in the pet store." And he goes, "I don't want you to work because you're pregnant. I want you to stay home." And so she went to work, strained herself, went to the hospital. Long story short, he's there. He won't leave her side, have the baby. And then one morning he's kneeling there at the side and she rolls over to him and her eyes open. And he's like all excited. Do you remember what she told him?
I think she said, "Go for it. You got to do what you love," or something like that. Because that was
it's easier than that. I think you're on it.
Because that was when he was fighting Apollo Creed again.
Yeah, one word.
I can't remember.
this is all. I mean, it brought tears in my eyes this morning. Win.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Win. And you know why? Because men need to hear that from their women. Yeah. They need to hear that from their wives or girlfriends. This goes back in history to kings and famous warriors when the women around them encouraged them and supported them in their efforts. They went out and fought like at a different level, man.
And that's what
that's what marriage has to be. Yeah. See, Patrick, if our marriage is not that, then it's going to be vanilla.
You're right.
And that goes both ways. Because if you know, because listen, we're entrepreneurs, man. I have done some crazy stuff in my life that my wife would have, I drove her crazy. Now, I need to get my daughter keeps telling me I need to get crazy like that again and some of the things I'm doing. But I have another issue because I have a handicapped son now. My son, who used to work for me, mm-hmm. has a traumatic brain injury. Mm-hmm. Okay. And he's 37 years old. So my wife is his caregiver. So, you know, I don't like using that as an excuse, but it's one reason I don't just fire all cylinders at one time.
Yeah.
But I do teach this, that if your wife has your back, you will fight like a madman.
That's
and
true.
If your wife knows that you have her back, she will love you like you don't know what's hit you. Mm-hmm. And if couples know that, but they don't know this. So when I teach unconditional love to couples, that's the third level, what I call the third level. Unconditional love, which means you love her no matter what. Mm-hmm. And she loves you no matter what. That is the ideal relationship. That's what I call pitch and catch. That's when you're taking turns loving each other because, no, it's my turn. No, it's my turn. Because you just love each other. And pretty soon, when both of you are given like that, but if the relationship is only one-sided like that, it will only last so long.
Wow, you're exactly right, man. It's so simple, but yet for so many of us, it's so elusive. It's so elusive.
Too many rules. Yeah. We have too many rules. Yeah. We all have too many rules. Remember I said earlier, change your freaking rules, man.
Yeah.
We have too many rules.
How is it kind of changing gears again? I know you did some work with Tony Robbins. We mentioned him earlier.
Yeah.
And the guy's amazing. I mean, it's just...
Yeah.
I mean, I recently watched... not recently. About 3 or 4 months ago, I watched Not Your Guru on Netflix.
I
mean, just amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
The guy's a beast. I mean, he's just...
He's off the charts.
Yeah, he's off the charts. And I just kind of... If you'd share a little bit about that experience.
Well, I tell you what. I mean, I've studied a ton of his stuff. I went through his program twice and talked to some other coaches that work with him. A lot of mindset stuff.
Yeah.
And strategies. Tony's about results. And years and years and years and years ago, I learned from him that, you know, because people used to give him a hard time, no college degree, no nothing. And he goes, "Listen, I have a PhD in results.
He does.
because I've had psychologists and people come up to me and say, why don't you just go back to school and get your degree in psychology? I go, I already have a master's and this and that. I go, you know what? I've probably read more books than you have on human psychology, so I'm okay. And because one of the things that they're bugged about me is because people will come to me and want to work with me, mm-hmm. Patrick, instead of going to them where their insurance might be useful and this and that, and they walk them through this long ordeal that takes months and months and months and months because that's what they do. Versus I want to get over it, yeah. Like today. Let's get over it. Let's get on to the next stuff, man, so we can learn and grow together. And, you know, you can build your business or you can get into a new relationship or you can do whatever the hell you want to do.
Yeah.
Versus, you know, and that's what Tony does. And that's what I learned from him. It's speed. You know, that's how he got discovered. He got people off cigarettes and drugs like today.
Yeah.
And that's what I learned from him. It's like, let's solve this problem now instead of, you know, I don't want to come back each and every time I see you and talk about the same stupid garbage.
Yeah.
You know, I want to move on. And that's what that experience taught me. It's about speed and results. And that, to me, what coaching's about. It's not about, you know, and I don't like to get – I get hyped. I get excited. You can tell I'm getting excited now. But I also am about the person I'm talking to. Like, I already know your mindset. You and I are kindred spirits because we're in this together. Mm-hmm. But if I'm on the phone with somebody or if I meet somebody at an event – and I can tell, because I study personalities, that they're a very quiet, what I call S-type, and they're very deep thinking. I'm not going to do this kind of stuff. I'm going to work with them at the speed they want to work with. I'm going to talk to them at the speed they want to talk. I'm going to mm-hmm. connect with them, because it's about connection.
Of course.
And it's about understanding and encouraging. And so if I leave a conversation with somebody where I've asked them a lot of questions about themselves, which is our favorite topic, and I've encouraged them and I have understood them, I guarantee you the next person they talk to, I may not have said anything, and they're going to go, wow, that Arnie guy's a pretty nice guy.
Yeah.
And I haven't done anything. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's what this is all about, and that's all people want, and that's what your wife wants. That's what you want in your relationship. And if I can teach that to people, and these are all things that I learned from Tony Robbins. And, you know, I've had a mixture of other people that I've, you know, read a lot of John Maxwell stuff.
Sure.
On leadership, and I love him to death. I've met him at some conferences. Great guy.
Amazing guy.
He's all heart. He means it. He's the real deal. And then, you know, bits and pieces from other people, and then my own stuff. You know, I've gone through a lot of tragedy in my life with my son and tough stuff with my wife. We've been married 31 years, and believe me, they haven't all been smooth. We've really battled, but mm-hmm. we've come through it, and we love each other to death, but it's been tough. And I learned a lot of it through a great program I went through about 17 years ago before my son got hurt. Through a counselor, and man, I tell you what, it was like a master's program.
Yeah.
He taught me so much. It was a year and a half program. I paid a ton of money, but money wasn't that important to me back then. It was mm-hmm. more about learning. But I tell you what, I use that stuff today.
Wow. What should we value most as we get older, Arnie? I mean, there's so many, probably just not one thing, but what do you think we should
health.
Value?
Health.
Yeah.
Health.
Yeah.
Health. I like to say, I put health / myself.
Yeah.
Because when I do alignment, when I teach on alignment. And as a Christian, I have God at the top. Then I have mm-hmm. Arnie. And this used to drive a lot of people crazy. And they go, what do you mean? You can't put you before your – I go, yes, I can. Because if Arnie's not healthy, if Arnie's not right, then what good am I to my wife?
That's a good point.
What good am I to my kids?
Yeah.
And women really struggle with this because they struggle – putting themselves above their kids and their husband and everything. And so at the end of the day, they're a wreck and they have nothing left. And so you and your wife now to come together at the end of the day, she's drained and you're feeling, hey, let's do something in there. And it's like, it's a joke.
Yeah.
All because she didn't take care of herself. She didn't get up and maybe do some prayer, meditation, some exercise, eat mm-hmm. right. And schedule the things properly, learn how to say no. And so at the end of the day, you know, Patrick or whoever she's married to gets left hanging, holding the bag.
Mm-hmm.
And then that creates resistance, resentment, you know, rejection,
mm-hmm.
and eventually repression, where you're just kind of hanging out.
Yeah.
All because their alignment's out. And just like in your physical body, if your neck's out or your back's out, it hurts, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Well, if your life's out of alignment, it hurts.
What about fulfillment, Arnie? We always talk about this. You know, we all want to live that fulfilled life.
Yes,
and imagine it probably comes down to the individual, too, and what you're putting in your body, and not just, you know, nutrition-wise, but, you know, mentally and what you're taking in, right? I mean,
yeah.
So much of it is mindset, and Tony Robbins talks about this. You talk about it a lot. It's what you're putting into your body.
Yeah. Well, yeah, no, you're exactly right. Whether it's nutrition-wise, because we need to nurture ourselves nutritionally, but it's also in our mind and our spirit, because it's like another metaphor is if you had a jar of muddy water and you turned on clear, crystal clear water from up there in Colorado and kept pouring it into that jar of muddy water, eventually it'll turn crystal clear, won't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But if we don't, if we continue to pour muddy water into it, it's still muddy water.
Mm-hmm.
So if we're eating crappy, if we're not exercising, you know, I'm an ultra athlete. And so, you know, I'm training for a 100-mile run at the end of next month.
Wow.
And like tomorrow, I've got to do 10 hours. So if I don't get my rest, if I don't eat well today and I don't do some visualization work and know what I'm going to do, I'm creating a big mess for myself.
Mm-hmm.
But if I take care of myself and I eat right and train right, it doesn't guarantee success, but it sets myself up for success.
Mm-hmm.
So in your own life, Patrick, if we do all the right things, if we, you know, we read, we grow, we pray, we meditate, we exercise, we eat right, we communicate, we take time alone with our spouses, our girlfriends, or whoever we're with, we spend quality time with our kids, we encourage them, we love them, we do all these cool things, there's a good chance things are going to turn out.
Yeah, you're exactly right. I mean, it's if we think, you know, what we've put out to the universe, we're going to get back.
Yeah.
So if it's positive, we're going to get positive for the most part. If it's negative, we're going to get negative.
But if we don't do any of that stuff and we just wish that our kids turn out well and we wish that our relationships work out. You know, it's funny. I always listen. I get these couples, and I had a guy come up to me, a couple I coached about 6 months ago. And he came up to me. I got his name through a friend of mine.
Mm-hmm.
And he was telling me all these wonderful things he was doing for his girlfriend. They were living together for about 6 years. And he was doing all these great things. I mean, he was a great guy. Just all these things. And then he said, one day she walked up to me and she goes, I feel like I'm being smothered and I need some space. And he was just blown away. I mean, he just got his knees cut from underneath him.
Yeah.
So one of the things, first things I do with couples, I always talk to each one separately. So when I talked to her, and it was basically that this guy wasn't a man. He wasn't stepping up.
Mm-hmm.
He was basically just kissing her butt.
Yeah.
Giving everything she wanted. And she didn't want that. She wanted a guy. She wanted a knight in shining armor to sweep her off her feet and take her on a great adventure.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a great book for men to read is John Eldridge's Wild at Heart. He's up in your neck of the woods.
Mm-hmm.
And men, I've changed men's lives with this book because it changed my life. You know, it's called Wild at Heart. And it is the ultimate men's book. And it will open you up and expose you. And you will be a different person after you read this book. And women want that. They don't want some guy just to be around them to be this Raymond, this wimpy guy. They don't.
Yeah.
I don't care what the media is telling you right now. They're wrong.
Or maybe
the media is wrong.
Or maybe they want that initially, but that'll change later on.
Absolutely.
You know, as they get older. And you're exactly right, Arnie. How can you respect somebody that kisses your ass all the time?
You can't. And she didn't. And it doesn't work. And you're exactly right. It might have got you that first date. It might have got you the second date.
Might have been cute.
But I promise. Yeah, it's cute because guess what? You know, she's got this cute guy that listens to her and does everything she wants and buys her stuff. And after a while, guess what? She doesn't respect that.
Yeah. She wants a protector and, you know, a guy.
That's right. That's right. She wants a man to be around her. And I promise you, you get any woman that you know, pull them aside and ask them what they're looking for. They'll tell you what they're looking for if they're being honest with you.
Yeah.
If they're not being honest with you, it doesn't really matter. And sometimes I get upset in some of these groups I belong to when I'm encouraging these folks, because some of the women in there are encouraging men to do dumb things.
Yeah.
And it's because they're confused as well. And they're usually younger. I'll be honest with you. They're younger. Mm-hmm. Because if you were to pull, and they're going to get hurt, and I hate to say this, and I don't want anybody to get hurt, but sometimes we have to learn that way. It's either pain or pleasure. You know, pain will drive us or pleasure will drive us. Mm-hmm. And right now they're seeking pleasure, but when it turns to pain, they're going to go somewhere else.
Yeah, you're exactly right, man. You're exactly right.
It's because I'm old and I've learned this stuff the hard way.
Arnie, if people want to reach out to you, my friend, where can they find you?
Well, you know, the easiest way is on Facebook, and just look me up, Arnie Fonseca Jr. Look me up, and you can also email me, and I'm going to give you my Gmail email, arniefonsecajr@gmail.com, arniefonsecajr@gmail.com, and that's A-R-N-I-E, and it's F as in Frank, O as in Oscar, N as in Nancy, S as in Sam, E as in Elephant, C as in Cake, A as in Apple, jr@gmail.com. And you can also look me up on Twitter at The Real Coach Arnie, The Real Coach Arnie, Instagram, Coach Arnie, Coach_Arnie. Look me up on Instagram. You can also, I've got a couple different websites, but look me up on my website, TotalRecoveryArizona.com, TotalRecoveryArizona.com. My podcast, which is Answers for Real Men, get over there on iTunes and look me up.
I've checked out the podcast. I love it, man. Good stuff.
Answers for Real Men. I'm on iTunes, Stitcher. I'm learning from guys like Patrick here. I'm learning how to do all this stuff. I do have a website for that, answersforrealmen.com. We're making some changes, but it's still, that's where I host all my show notes and my episodes. But yeah, you know, get over there, give me some comments. I want to get some feedback from you. Go over to iTunes, give me some comments. I'd love to hear, and subscribe. Patrick, I think it is good stuff too, not just because I'm putting it out there, but mm-hmm. you know, it's coming from my heart, man. I'm doing it because it helps me, and I know some of the men that I have on there. A lot of them are in my group on Facebook, and we're just trying to help people.
Yeah,
you know, we're just trying to help other men, like we talked about earlier. And so, yeah, look me up, listen to me on iTunes, and subscribe to my, and share it.
Yeah.
We all know men that are struggling right now, and sometimes we just need to hear another voice that says, you know, it's going to be okay. You know, the Calvary's coming. It's going to be okay. And there's somebody that understands you.
Well, I will have all that linked up in the show notes, Arnie. Truly an inspiration, my friend. Thank you for coming on. Keep up the good work. And you're welcome back anytime.
Thank you, Patrick. And I'll be in touch with you. I love what you're doing, too. And good stuff. We need more guys like you out there, because I need to lock arms with guys that have the back of some men out there that need it, to need that support, buddy. So thank you so much.
Well, thank you, sir. Take care. Have a good night.
All right, man. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to CJ Evolution. Be sure to head over to iTunes and rate and review the podcast, and reach out to Patrick on Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, Anchor, or Snapchat. We'll see you next time on CJ Evolution.